Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome home. This is Deanna, and we want to thank you for being a part of the Life Together podcast. Before we get into this week's teaching with Pastor Tom, we want you to know that you matter to God and you matter to us. Life Together is a Wednesday evening gathering for worship, Bible study, and community at Oak Creek Assembly of God here in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. We pray that this week's message is life-giving, encouraging, challenging, and possibly even life-changing.
As we jump into this week's Bible study, here is something that I believe is true for all of us. I believe it's true for you. Someone has wronged you. Someone has done something wrong to you. Listen to this list. You were taken advantage of, manipulated, neglected, rejected, deceived, ignored, lied to, denied, abused, cheated, disrespected, misunderstood, overlooked, overcharged, underappreciated, or taken for granted. Maybe this was something that someone did to you intentionally. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe they don't even know that you feel this way because of what they did. You may be thinking, as I read that list, of an event that happened a long time ago, or it's possible that you're thinking of something that happened an hour before you started watching this Bible study. Whether long ago or whether it happened just a short time ago, as a result of what happened to you, you have self-calculated a debt that whoever did that to you owes you. As a result of what happened to you, you have self-calculated a debt that whatever happened to you, there is something that someone owes to you. They owe you time. Maybe they owe you money. They owe you attention. They owe you apology. They owe you an endorsement. They owe you a promotion. Or maybe you feel like they owe you a period of suffering. You would say that you suffered because of what they did to you. So what you feel they owe in return is that they too would go through a season of suffering as you went through a season of suffering. This may be amplified during this season right now because of what's happening with coronavirus, with COVID-19 and the safer at home restrictions. If you feel like you have been wronged, and the person that has wronged you lives in your household, you had a crisis relationship going into all of this. Now you're not just with that person some of the day, you're with that person most of the day or all of the day. The frustration that surrounds the debt that you feel is owed to you, it has peaked to a new place because of what is happening in our world right now. Now, so we calculate the debt. We determine that someone, because of what they've done, they owe us time, they owe us money, they owe us attention, they owe us an apology, an endorsement, promotion, or a season of suffering. When we make the choice to cancel that debt that we have self-calculated, that's called what? Forgiveness. When we make a choice to cancel a self-calculated debt that someone owes us, when we choose to cancel that debt, it's very simply called forgiveness. Here's what I know about you, and I know this is true about me. It is much easier to receive forgiveness than to give it to someone else. Coming up, I want to tell you about an area of forgiveness that I'm going to confess to you that I've personally struggled with. God has really opened my eyes to this area, and I want to share with you tonight that as a result, I've received some great freedom. I just want you to know that as we're doing this Bible study tonight, I'm not speaking to you as someone that is higher than you. I am in this struggle with you. We're all trying to figure this out. But here's the choice. Here's the choice that all of us have when it comes to people who have wronged us and the debt that we believe we are owed in return. We have a choice. You can be someone who is a forgiver, or you can be someone who is a debt collector. You and I, we have a choice to be a forgiver or a debt collector. Jesus spoke about this concept of forgiveness in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had gathered his first followers on a mountainside. And in this teaching that we know as Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks about how to have deeper relationships with our Heavenly Father and with other people. He also shows us what to increase in our life and what to get rid of to get the most out of life. And the goal for Jesus' first followers and the goal for us as we study the Sermon on the Mount, it's not so that we would increase our knowledge. The goal on the Sermon of the goal of the Sermon on the Mount is not just an increase in knowledge. The goal of the Sermon on the Mount is action. So as we study God's Word tonight, let's be people who look for action steps, how we can put into practice what Jesus talks about. So we're in Matthew chapter 6 tonight, Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start reading in verse 14. We're actually really going to focus on simply two verses tonight because they're so important. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. This is Jesus speaking. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. Jesus says, if you forgive those who sin against you, expect your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus describes forgiveness flowing through you. We may think that we can receive God's forgiveness while at the same time holding on to revenge, resentment, hostility, and bitterness. Almost like we have two separate compartments. We have the compartment where we receive from God, and we have the compartment with what goes out from us. And we may convince ourselves that we can receive this forgiveness of God in one compartment, and there's like a steel wall that are separating the two compartments. And so while I've received forgiveness from my Heavenly Father, I can have a separate compartment where I can hold on to all these debts, all this bitterness, this desire for revenge, this resentment towards other people. And what we see from Jesus is that's not how God designed us. God designed us that forgiveness would flow out of us because we have first received forgiveness from Him. We receive an input of forgiveness from our Heavenly Father, and as a result, there is an output of forgiveness to other people. Forgiveness is more for the forgiver than for the forgiven. The debt you are longing to collect is holding you back far more than it's hurting the person who you believe owes you. And this is where I want to tell you about an area where I've personally struggled. We often think about forgiveness as it relates to something that someone did to us long ago, that we've been hanging on to this area, we've been hanging on to what was done from us from long ago, and we haven't quite reached a point of forgiveness. And that may be you tonight. But here is more of a silent way that this can creep into your life, a little more of under the radar. Well, I did not feel like I had big wrongs that had been done to me that I needed to forgive or that I needed to cancel debts for, that I was holding on to. What I did find myself accumulating is lots of little debts. I didn't like the way a conversation went. Maybe I didn't get exactly what I wanted. When I think about some of these things, they are petty, petty things. But here's what I've realized, and maybe you realize this too. Maybe you realized it a long time ago. Little debts can add up to big debts. That's how credit cards get you. It's one little debt after another. And maybe you've been feeling this, why do I have this division? Why do I have this separation with someone that I care about, someone that I'm close to? Why am I feeling this way towards them? Because you can't even think of some big argument that you have, or you can't think of some blow up. Maybe you have been collecting little debts against that person, and they're building up inside of you. Jesus makes this statement, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus makes this comment at the end of the Lord's Prayer, and he's already spoken about forgiveness in what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Just go a few verses up to verse 12, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us our sins, Jesus teaches us how to pray. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Jesus told us to pray to our Heavenly Father for the forgiveness of sin. And of course, the way that God answered that prayer, forgive us our sins, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who would be the answer, God's answer to that prayer. Jesus took care of the first part. That's what we celebrate every day with an extra emphasis on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus told us that as a result of being forgiven by our Heavenly Father, that we should forgive others. Jesus told us to ask God to forgive us of our sins. Within just a few short years after teaching this on the mountainside, Jesus Christ would suffer on the cross for our sin, for the forgiveness of our sin, and then 3 days later, Jesus would rise again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, later on, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul, speaking about God, says, God, He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. Go ahead and give me a thumbs up right now if you want to say amen right where you are. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. The debt for your eternal separation from God is canceled. Because of what Jesus did on your behalf, you no longer owe a sin debt. Jesus says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Then at the end of that statement, he comes back to forgiveness. He's like, in case you didn't get this, I want to go back to this forgiveness piece for just a moment. Forgiveness is an emphasis for Jesus, not an asterisk. Verses 14 and 15, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. It is clear that God is not interested in how accurately we track those who owe us a debt. The word forgiveness that Jesus used, if we look at the original word there, it is packed with meaning. The word that is translated in our Bibles as forgiveness means to send away, to expire, to let go, to keep it no longer. Whatever debt you have self-calculated that someone owes you, Jesus challenges you to make the choice to send that debt away. Allow it to expire. Let it go. Keep that debt no longer. Whether it was something that someone did to you long ago, or whether it was something that happened to you 5 minutes ago. Forgiveness is taking the position that whatever you owe me, whatever someone owes you for what they did, they do not owe it anymore. It is God's desire that others will receive forgiveness from you as a result of the forgiveness you receive from him. Now, forgiveness is not excusing, overlooking, approving, minimizing, or condoning. Forgiveness may not even mean a restoration, some sort of restoration to the way that things used to be. Let's say I loaned you something that cost $100 and you break it. Okay, how about this? How about you be the good guy? All right, you loan me something and it cost $100 and I break it. What do I owe you? I owe you either $100 or a brand new one, something that is just as good or probably in better condition than the one that I broke. If you choose to forgive me the debt that I owe you for that $100 item that I broke, that does not mean that you have to loan me the replacement that you purchased or the replacement that I gave to you. To forgive is to release someone from what they've done to you in the past, but it doesn't mean there's automatically permission for them to return into your life at the same level or in the same way. Jesus challenges us to be people that have a reputation for forgiveness. And we might immediately push back there. We'd say, well, if I forgive, if I build a reputation of forgiveness, then people are going to trample all over me. People will take advantage. They'll do things to me. They'll make promises they know they can break because they can count on my forgiveness. And if you would say, that's not right, I would agree. But my question for us, how often do we do that to Jesus? How often do we take advantage, do we take for granted his forgiveness? How often do we know that what we're about to do damages our relationship with God? We know it is against his ways, but we go ahead and do it anyway because we take that forgiveness for granted. How often do we trample the name of Jesus Christ? Or how often do we compromise our witness because we have a confidence that Jesus will forgive and give us another chance? Forgive others because God has forgiven you. The debt Jesus forgave for you is far greater than the debt anyone owes you. He died on the cross and defeated the grave for you to receive forgiveness for the sins that separate you from God. He restored you to your heavenly Father. Be known for your forgiveness, not your debt collection. We can be debt collectors. You have the choice to be known, not for your forgiveness, but as one who desires to collect debts. Some of you have known a debt collector, you have been a debt collector in the past, or you are one right now. And I'm not talking about the profession of working for some sort of agency. What I'm talking about is the debt collector who can quickly rattle off all the ways that they have been wronged, and they can tell you what they believe is owed to them as a result. Maybe they do get together with friends, with like-minded people, and together they form a debt collection agency. No one is going to speak highly of you with a comment like this: man, she did such an incredible job of keeping track of all the ways that people wronged her during her life. And what a wonderful job she did of meticulously calculating the payback that she desired from others. You've already figured this out. Debt collectors rarely get the payback they desire. And when they do, they are rarely satisfied. We become more like Christ when forgiveness is our default response. Let me encourage you. develop a reputation of forgiveness. What people who have already figured this out have discovered is that they don't want to carry around these debts. They found that it is a burden on their own spirit to carry around debts that other people owe them, debts of time, debts of money, attention, apology. They feel like someone owes them an endorsement or a promotion, or they believe that someone else should go through a period of suffering because they went through a period of suffering. What people have figured it out, those who have strived for a reputation of forgiveness, they recognize that they're going to be wronged again. They're going to be offended at some point in the future. They recognize that at some point moving forward, they will be manipulated, neglected, rejected, deceived, ignored, lied to, denied, abused, cheated, disrespected, misunderstood, overlooked, overcharged, underappreciated, and or taken for granted. And there are some who have said that even though they know that is coming at some point in the future, they have pre-decided that forgiveness is going to be their default response. And this idea, forgive because you have been forgiven, it's a recurring concept in God's Word. Paul, in his letter to the Colossian church, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul writes, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, Paul says, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Jesus first, and then Paul, in following up on this concept, there's not a whole lot of space for viewing this as something that's optional. Jesus spoke about this as something that is expected, and here Paul reiterates that. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Forgive because you have first been forgiven was so important that Jesus, he told a parable about this. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 18. I want to mostly summarize it for you here. A parable is a fictional story used by Jesus to illustrate a spiritual truth. So in Matthew 18, there is a man who owes a huge debt to a king. You might think of it as millions of dollars. And the man, he cannot pay. So the king orders that this man, this debtor, who cannot pay, he orders that the man, his wife, and in fact his entire family, the king orders them to be sold into slavery. Well, the man who owes a king this great debt, he falls at his knees, he falls in front of the king, and he says, I know the debt that I owe you. I know that I cannot pay right now, but King, please have mercy on me. I will repay the debt. And in this parable that Jesus tells, the king is so moved by the man's desire to repay. He's so moved by the man's plea that the king decides to cancel the man's debt. He says to the man, you don't owe me anything. The man is filled with pity. He realizes that there's no way this man can repay the debt. And so the king forgives the entire balance of the man's debt. That's so good. But then watch what happens to the man as soon as he leaves the king. The man has just left the presence of the king. He has just received this forgiveness for this huge debt. And then the forgiven man, he runs into somebody who owes him money. The forgiven man grabs this debtor by the throat, Jesus says, and demands that he be paid back. The forgiven man grabs the debtor by the throat and demands an instant payment. And the debtor, in response, he says, there's no way that I can repay you, but I promise that I will. The king's reaction, he was full of pity, and he showed mercy. But the man who had just been forgiven, he reacts in a very different way. He demands for the debtor to be thrown into prison. word gets back to the king of what's happened. This forgiven man now throwing one of his debtors into prison. Matthew chapter 18, verse 32. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me." Verse 33. "Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" When you declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your Heavenly Father forgave in you a tremendous debt. Let's be a community that has a reputation for the way that we forgive others. Let's be a community that is known for its forgiveness. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we realize tonight that we have received a tremendous forgiveness of our own debt when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin and for our rebellion. And we also realize tonight that whatever others have done to us, that debt that they owe us is nothing compared to the debt that we owe to God. We see in your word that it says the wages of sin is death. And Father, what you did, you loved us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we may be forgiven of our sin debt and so that we can be restored to you forever. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may be forgiven. And Father, you know where we have been people that have tried to have two separate compartments, one where we receive an input of forgiveness for you while at the same time having an output of debt collecting from others. Father, help us to be people that grow in increasing measure, that because we have first been forgiven, we would show forgiveness to others. Forgiveness to others for what they did to us long ago, and forgiveness to others for what they did to us 20 minutes ago. Father, and you also know the one tonight who is realizing that they need to be forgiven for their sins. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing them from their sin debt the moment that they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for the Life Together podcast this week. It's even better when we get to see you in person. Life is best lived in community. You're invited to join us on Wednesday evening here at Oak Creek Assembly of God. We are a church that exists to reach our world for Christ as we lead people just like you to discover and become who God created you to be. Find us online at oakcreekag.org/life.